Why in the world, other than that you're a lord, why in the world should we listen to you about getting business, gaining business as being get from being guest on podcasts?
Sure. So I think what's really unique about using this strategy is essentially you're using outbound prospecting, but rather than trying to book a meeting, you're just trying to secure an interview for yourself. But as with the goal of any outbound, it's just to start the conversation. And that's the approach we take at Speak on Podcasts. So for context, Speak on Podcasts is a guest booking agency where we secure interviews for our customers. And we have leaders at, pretty large SaaS companies like Paddle and Gong, and we represent them in the market. But we do this all by outbound. And in the last 2 years, we've booked over 1,700 podcast interviews. And just check the stats for July, and they've been consistent throughout our existence. We get over a 50% reply rate. And of those replies, over 62% are positive. The majority of the others are neutral, as in it's not the right time, or we're stopping, or we're slowing down our podcast recording. And Brian, I'm sure you've been on the receiving end of many of these email pitches to podcast hosts, and the majority of them do a terrible job.
Well, some of them do, but once if you go back and forth with them, what I found is if you really identify who your ideal guest is, they can actually do a pretty decent job. Now, I guess one of the key questions that I have, and I've had a number of different CEOs or co-founders on here, and the challenge that they have is separating out their offering from bringing value on a podcast. So, talk a little bit about how somebody who is being a guest on a podcast can sell without being salesy or making it an infomercial.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the things that we have to work quite diligently with our customers on, because their objective is to talk about them and their product. But our objective is to make it not about them, or it can be about them, but not their product. So with all of our customers, we walk through an onboarding process where we're really trying to develop an understanding of, like, what problem are you solving? What challenges are your ideal audience facing? And how are you helping people overcome those challenges? And then also we spin out other topics, which are, okay, you've got 1,000 customers, so you must have some insight as to what these customers or this market is facing. So what trends do you see? What lessons learned do you have? And what interesting stories can you come up with? So we work a lot with the founders to think about customer anecdotes, success stories, case studies. And you can speak anecdotally about the case study. You don't have to say who the company is, but you can talk through where they were before, what the challenge they faced, then they came to you, and this is where they are now. So less about the product and the features and more about the outcome, which is great advice if you're looking at your website copy as well. It should be less about features and the product and more about the outcome and the benefits.
Well, it's funny. It goes against. It goes with everything, right? Features and benefits don't work. People do not buy intellectually. They justify their decisions intellectually, but they buy emotionally. And by selling through stories, that's going to be. Hey, listen, Mark. My guess is that your sales team is screwing up and blah blah blah, right? Now Mark is going to put up his defensive walls, not listen to you whatsoever. But if you couch that in a story in a third party, blaming it on somebody else, hey, we were working with somebody, their sales team was really underperforming. They were doing this, this, and this, and this. Now Mark can say, well, that's my sales team too. And now he can relate without being offended. So this is a key element, whether doing a guest on podcast, or my guess is, especially with what you're doing, Mark, through the Sales Impact Academy, you're bringing that into the cold calls and bringing that into the email copies as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think oftentimes, if we switch into the sales and prospecting side of things, follow-ups are key. The majority of sales reps actually stop following up after one or two emails, believe it or not. And really, you need to be sending more follow-up emails. And the general advice is, oh, lead with value. But what does that really mean? However, if your founder of the company that you're working for has been on a podcast and they talk about the challenges, the key trends, the lessons learned from their experience, that's a great piece of content that you can tease the prospect with and say, hey, our founder went and spoke about some of the core challenges that companies have when they go from Series A to Series B. They recorded an interview. Would you like me to send it over to you? Again, you're looking for that reply. You're looking for that conversation. So leveraging this content in the outbound sales is really, really useful. The other way that we see sales specifically using it is in the follow-up post discovery call or qualification call, for example. Oftentimes, we actually work with our customers, the ones that are a little bit more comfortable on camera and speaking. We ask them to think about some of the objections that they might have with the product or the solution that they sell. And we help them weave those answers to the objections into the conversation itself. And then, similar to how you produce this your podcast, you are bringing out little snippets, 2 minutes, 3 minutes at a time, and that can be used in the follow-up process as well.
Now, talk to me a little bit about how you're getting them to weave objections into that conversation, and are you suggesting that they do that on the podcast, you mean?
Yeah, we do suggest it if it comes naturally. So sometimes it doesn't, but there's going to be common questions or common objections that people have. Take my example, my company, for example. Oftentimes people will ask me, how many podcast downloads does a podcast get? And the truthful answer is there's no real way of knowing. Even all of the analytics platforms out there, they're not 100% accurate. They're best guessed at best. And even podcast hosts don't fully understand how many people downloaded and listened to all of the interview, because they might repurpose that content on YouTube and they might repurpose that content in other formats on social as well. So there's no real way to get one true piece of data about total audience size. So if I just stop there, Brian, I would now snippet this part of the podcast and then share that in my follow-up, especially if somebody asked me the question around audience size and podcast downloads.
Yeah, and so let's take this to now guesting. Typically speaking, people are going to say, well, how does this work, or why does this work? And that's likely a good place to bring up the objections. Well, oftentimes people will be challenged with believing blank, blank, or blank. And mm-hmm. here's why. So there's ways that you can weave this. And let's go back to what you were talking about, where you're working with your customer base to help them with, you know, identifying what problems that they solve. I mean, I know none of your customers do this, but I can't believe how many companies out there can't succinctly say the problem is that you solve. Mm-hmm. So how do you go about helping people to succinctly say the problem that they solve for?
Yeah, so we do this in a few different stages. The first is in an onboarding form, which is quite simple for any service. To kick off the service, we ask for them to share some of the talking points. And depending on their answers, we know then how to take the onboarding call. If they just talk about the features of the product, we know we've got to do a bit more work on the coaching. Whereas if their suggested topics are more about the challenges and the problems faced by their personas, then we know we don't have to go down that track in the onboarding call. But really the questions we ask are, what common questions do you get asked often as the CEO founder of X company or in X market? What are common misconceptions that people have in your market? And what are the main challenges that people face before they work with you? So what happens in their life before they come to decide that they need a sales intelligence tool, to decide that they need a HR reward and benefits tool? So these are the sorts of questions. And then as we go through the onboarding call, we dive deeper into those answers, and we don't just settle for the surface level answer. We ask, like a seven-year-old child would, why, several times to get down to the real meat and value of what they could share.